was at the right place, but it must have been the wrong time. No, you, no, I didn't steal any. Oh, what a dirty trick. Dirty trick.
Gotta get some of that Dutch courage.
Instead of you.
Apologize to any Dutch people.
Yeah. Or not.
This
or
is
not.
A, we're doing like a big,
This is the karaoke panel, yeah.
Okay, cool, yeah.
Wait,
okay.
Can I do karaoke?
No.
You're not on the panel.
I don't know if you planned on it being the karaoke panel, but it's going to be the karaoke panel.
Guys, hold on, real quick vote. Instead of webcomics, karaoke panel, yes?
Yelled off.
Yeah? Oh my god. We actually got response from that.
If I had a dollar for every white person that told me they could kill a rap song,
I believe
and did, I'd have $0.
I tell you what, this is not my setup. This belongs to these gentlemen down here. When this is all over, that's a discussion you should have with these fellas. I think they would love to have that discussion with
after
you.
After this, you guys want to see me do the real Slim Shady?
We have a panel directly after this.
Yeah. So my answer to that is use your own discretion.
No. If someone asks you to make a choice for them, you go ahead and make that choice.
I think there's two questions here, though. Do we want to see it? And can we see it?
Two different questions, or two different answers.
Yeah, exactly.
Do I want to see it? Yes. Am I going to? Probably not.
Oh, that's better.
Yeah. So how's everybody doing today?
Everybody good?
Yeah.
Saturday, NC Comic Con.
That's a decent response. I like it. So everyone, welcome to 2016 NC Comic Con here in beautiful Durham. We have a one hand clap to throw off the rhythm.
I'm just excited by the natural lighting. who out there's from Durham?
Halfway through the intro slow hand clap just screws the groove up. Who is that? Is this an 80s movie? Welcome to the webcomics panel. We hope everybody's been having a good time here this weekend. I am from Name Redacted Podcast here with my co-host. I'm Alexander Fulmer.
I'm Colin Norris.
Our third host is here, Chris Nielsen, but he's not on this panel with us. Like I said, this is the webcomics panel. We're going to actually talk to you guys a little bit about what it takes to do webcomics, how to use webcomics to get into the print industry, a lot of different aspects of how webcomics are developed and what they can mean for you as a creator. We have people who are actually very well versed in that topic in particular, which is why they're here. Without further ado, do you guys want to just go ahead and introduce yourselves and kind of a little bit of what you do?
Sure.
Starting with Chris Wharton.
I'm Chris Wharton.
That's him.
As he just said. I do a comic book called Giant. I've done several webcomics in the past, from Barely Listening, which was a sort of gag-a-day journal comic about raising my daughter. And I did started off with a webcomic called Obsolete. Is this loud enough, by the way?
You're good.
Okay, just making sure.
Just keep projecting.
He said eat the mic, so I'm not like...
That one you don't have to.
This one's all right. Okay, so anyway, I also did Obsolete, which was a fun fantasy, like sci-fi romantic comedy high school thing. And it was, I think, in like 2005 when I first started this out. So like I was on Wirepop and a few other things, so like... I have a little bit of experience on this stuff. I also took my graphic novel Giant and I put that online as a webcomic as well.
My name is Chad Bowers. I'm a comics writer. I currently do X-Men 92 with Chris at Marvel. And I forgot where we did it.
You forgot who publishes the X-Men?
We did X-Men,
completely forgetting the fact that they pay us money.
This is a crowd. And then we also did a graphic novel at Oni called Downset Fight. We have some other stuff that's coming up. But we both got started together, writing together, on a comic called Awesome Hospital that we did. That was a pretty successful webcomic for us. And I did a webcomic called Monster Plus, which is about a monster in the future who's all the monsters rolled into one. We did kind of a couple of different things here and there over the last, like, 10 or 15 years.
I'm Chris Sims. I am Chad's co-writer on a lot of stuff. And like you said, we did Awesome Hospital, which is kind of a traditional webcomic, updates Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with a new strip. We've also done a bunch of stuff that's not, I guess, like the term would just be more digital comics. We've done a lot of like full issues released digitally, either independently or through Comixology. And we've also written for two different Marvel digital projects, the Infinite Comics they do, which is how X-Men 92 started out. And we also did a Nick Fury story for the Year of Marvel's Infinite Comics project. So we've kind of worked in a lot of different sides of publishing comics to the web and on the web.
We did work for another company called Flashback Universe, which is probably one of
that's
the
actually
very,
where we got started.
Which was one of the very first like web comics, but it was a little bit. It was like straight superheroes, which you don't really see somebody doing right out of the gate for web comics. Yeah. But it was pretty cool.
It wasn't one of the first web comics, but it was definitely like the first of the things that were like structured, like the Infinite Comics, and like Alex DeCambia would do with Valentine and stuff like that.
Very cool. So in terms of kind of starting out with it, when you guys started doing web comics, kind of talk a little bit about what that entailed, what you had to do to get into doing like and publishing your own comics on the internet, and some of the obstacles that you hit and how you got around them.
Sure.
Start with Chris?
Sure.
Wharton? Sorry, there's two Chris's.
So when I first started web comics, I left SCAD like in 2001, and I had no idea that web comics was even an option. I was thinking about going straight into doing like either trying to get a job like making someone else's comics or self-publishing it, possibly, and trying to pitch it to other publishers and things like that. And I honestly found out about webcomics while I was working a day job. You know, I was working as a cubicle monkey, and you know, I was futzing off at the desk, and I found webcomics. I think I found PvP, and I found
Chris Stroud stuff,
Penny Arcade, things like that. Yeah, and I was kind of blown away by like the option. I was like, whoa, this is a thing? You can actually just take your stuff and put it online? And I immediately said to myself, oh, well, I can just take out the middleman. Why don't I just do that? So I started putzing around trying to find out more about the webcomics like community and seeing what options there were out there for putting my stuff online. And I found a lot of people were doing collaboratives where like they're going out there and getting together with like a bunch of other artists and just starting a website. So like my first comic, I started out on Wirepop, mm-hmm. which was I think it's defunct now. It's no longer there.
I don't think it's
but when I did that, like what the advantage that gave me was the fact that like it already had a built-in audience, you know, and the more creators that were putting out stuff, the more people were being drawn to it, the more they just went, oh, okay, well, this guy's also doing some stuff. There's an add-on on this thing that points me to this. And that allowed a little bit more cross-pollination.
Yeah.
It's almost like being in a comic book store, you know, like while you're standing there going to get your favorite X-Men comic or whatever, you look over and you're like, oh, there's like this other cool comic that's like from a completely different publisher. It's sort of the same thing. And that's kind of how I got into the whole comics thing. Like webcomics. How about you guys?
I mean, I was a webcomics reader, you know, starting around, you know, 2000 when I was in college and sort of that first big wave of people doing webcomics. I mean, I'd seen people, you know, uploading like short comics before, but, you know, before broadband, for those of you who are very old,
that was Xbox Live on the
Xbox Live on the PlayStation, that is correct.
SegaNet.
Is this the SegaNet panel?
No.
Karaoke panel.
I always loved comics just as a medium. Like, and so I would read stuff, you know, like a lot of the stuff that you talked about, but, you know, Brian Clevenger's stuff that he did back in the day, you know, Kate Beaton stuff, Dinosaur Comics, Akewood was a big one, Les McClain stuff, Dr. McNinja. I was like a huge fan of all that. And it was really, you know, but my heart's always been in superhero comics. You know, my heart's always been in, like, you know, like the 24 to 20 page unit of superhero comics. Yep. And it was really like seeing Dr. McNinja, the Chris Hastings and Ken Archer was the original inker on that, and then
back when he was doing like basically just a page a week.
Yeah,
in that format, because previous to that, it was literally like. Which you were like the three panel gags.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like Dr. Meninja really, I think, started that paradigm.
And seeing
shift.
Him do like 60 and 80 and like 120 page, like essentially superhero stories
it
with him.
It took you a year to read it all.
Yeah.
But it was beautiful.
And with Carly Minardo doing colors, and then with Anthony Clark, who still does colors as the series is winding down now. Like that was, like that was kind of a, that and Akewood were like real revelations for me as far as like, oh, you can do like, you can do whatever. Yeah. Like you don't have to have like three panels of dudes playing video games. Like it can be anything. You can be Kate Beaton. Like it's amazing.
Yeah.
So, and then Chad and I had been talking about writing comics for a really long time, and we were working at a comic book store, and we were working at a comic book store in a community in down in Columbia that was lucky enough to have like a really, really strong comics community. You know, Samford is from Columbia. Steve Epting, you know, who co-created The Winter Soldier, is down in Columbia. So we, you know, knew a lot of people who were doing comics, but we wanted to do them. And then Jim Shelley is our friend, and he kind of put together this thing called Flashback Universe that we talked about. It was essentially like, what if Bronze Age Marvel comics were webcomics? Like, what if they you know, were oriented for a screen and they ran in a webcomics format? They were free to read, but they had that sensibility of like, you know, superhero stories from 1975 to 1985, yeah. Which is, you know, stuff that we love. So we kind of started working on that stuff and learned, I think, a lot, and then moved on from it. And the kind of postscript of that story that goes off in a different direction is that Jim is now doing a book called North Stars. That he's writing and kind of co-plotting with his 11-year-old daughter, Hagen, that's actually now being digitally released with a print collection to come later from Action Lab, which you should absolutely check out. But but then, you know, we started doing, we got the idea, we went to Taco Bell for lunch one day, and that's where I'm going to kick it over to you, Jeff.
It's always a good great choice. Start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, at least a good choice.
I've been doing like print comics, like exclusively print comics for probably about 2 or 3 years prior to that, and was getting essentially nowhere. Mm. And you know, Jim came to us with this whole idea for Flashback Universe. He'd already started it. He'd probably had 3 or 4 like what you would consider to be arcs in the can, and they were already running. And so we saw that, and we played around with that a little while. And we wanted to do something together, and that seemed like a really good opportunity. And Jim was like, "Yeah, that's really good. You guys probably shouldn't just put that on Flashback Universe. You should probably do something else with it, like by yourself."
I think both of us have one completed story that we wrote individually.
Right.
I
lettered a bunch of stuff for them, too. Yeah.
But we had seen, like, working at the store, we had seen so many people who were, like, doing self-publishing.
Right.
And it's, like, if you're just doing, like, a print comic, it's expensive. You know, if you take it to a con, you're probably just shooting to break even, which is something we did for years and years. I think we only broke even at a con last year.
Yeah.
We had a book of Wolverine in it.
Yeah.
And
it's you got to hand it to somebody. You got to talk about it.
If you're gonna get in a
shop,
you have
them to carry it around.
Yeah.
You know, like all the stuff that you have to do with things.
It's tough.
And you know, the idea of having something that you could really put in front of somebody or just a link from somewhere else that other people would, you know, just click on really easily was pretty appealing. So we did something together. We really liked doing that together. And that really, we were pitching that as a print comic other places. And it wasn't really, really happening as fast as we wanted it to. And we got together at Taco Bell for lunch one day and just started talking about another idea that we had. We were kind of riffing off this joke of a character called Dr. Dirtbike that we were working on. And he was just going to be like this like traveling doctor who like rode around on a dirt bike and like did things and cool things. And that became a joke about another doctor who did something fun and another doctor who did something kind of crazy. And that became Awesome Hospital. And within, I would say, probably 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks from that Taco Bell meeting, Chris had bought the domain name.
Yeah.
We had talked to Matt Diggs, who became our artist, and he started designing characters. And within like 3 or 4 weeks, we were launching the site and putting out like number one, like the number of the first page of that book, which is another good thing about webcomics. I mean, how fast you can turn around stuff like that.
Yeah, and the same thing actually happened with me. I started working on Barely Listening with my daughter with my wife, which was, like I said, it's about raising my daughter. And I had like a week before I went from having a crazy idea of just saying, this is kind of silly, like this happened today with my daughter. And then my wife gave me another story, and after like 4 or 5 stories, we were like, we should make this into a comic. And then like that evening, I started writing out like all the things that had been happening. And I had like 50 of them like on post-it notes just sitting in front of me. And I was like, I'm starting a website. And immediately, like, went out, got the domain name, and a week later, I had the first thing out there.
Yeah, it's incredible.
It was crazy fast.
Yep.
And what's cool about that is that, like, you can build an audience, like, before you ever even step onto, a convention floor or talk to a publisher.
Yeah,
that's powerful.
Right? And I've been writing online. Like, I just, you know, I had a blog that I've been doing for a couple years at that point. And so the artists we were working with, even though, you know, there's a lot of talented people that we knew in Columbia, like a lot of the artists that we were working with, you know, Rusty was up in Ohio at that point. Matt was out in California and Los Angeles. And we were like, yeah, well, we've got all these pages online anyway. like you're emailing it to us. So we might as, we don't need to, you're the one scanning them in. We'll just put them up.
Yeah.
But we ended up learning an awful lot doing, like, we learned an awful lot about scripting. We learned an awful lot about pacing. We learned an awful lot about publishing doing Awesome Hospital. And that kind of really formed, you know, for a while, that was the longest, like, single story we'd written until 92 happened, really.
Yeah.
Did you notice, like, a pretty distinct difference, though, like, doing the switchover, like, that there is a difference in pacing. There's a difference in structure when you're talking about web comics versus print comics. Like, when you guys were looking through that and kind of realizing that, like, did it make a big impact on you, or were you just one day like, wow, this is really different?
Show of hands out there. Is anybody out there, like, aspiring to make comics or making comics now? Okay.
Yes, at a comic.
That's, yeah, at a comic convention. Well, you can just like them. That's fine. Yeah, like, you know.
You don't have to be a creator.
I like to watch pro wrestling. I'm not in shape.
Neither are half of them.
Yeah, we can try.
Here's a hot tip that's like the most basic thing you can know about comics. The most important thing about a comic book is a page turn. The most important thing about a comic is how that last panel leads to the next panel.
Mm-hmm.
And doing, like, you forget about it if you're just reading a comic book. Because if you're reading a comic book, you read fast. You know, you turn the page, you see the next thing, you turn the page, you see the next thing. Maybe you turn the page and you get, like, a really cool reveal and you see who the villain is and you're like, oh, that's cool. If you're doing a page Monday, a page Wednesday, a page Friday, if you're doing a page Tuesday or a page Thursday, or if you're doing one page a week, or if you're doing something like that, then you need to make sure that you hit that thing on the page every time.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, people might not come back.
You get one slow day and you lose somebody.
Yeah, there's a real difference between a gag-a-day strip, which really can work awesome on online. But switching over to doing long-form stories, mm-hmm. that has a funny little way of, like, I don't know, you'll have, like, several pages where it doesn't end on that note and it doesn't translate perfectly. So you'll end up with an audience that's coming back instead of daily or whenever you're posting. They'll actually come back maybe a month later and they'll start reading, like, the backlog.
Yeah.
They go, oh, okay, well, this is where I last read, and then
that's
I
how
get that.
That's how I used to read Dr. McNinja.
Yeah.
Personally.
That's still how I read it. But, yeah. And that's a very well-crafted strip. It's just a lot of time.
It's just a lot of time.
But
that's why Gag a Day's work awesome,
episode
though.
Ever.
Yeah.
Just like, when does it happen?
There's so much dialogue!
But I think, you know, doing the page like that, and by the way, we were terrible collaborators. We would have pages, like, our schedule was Tuesday and Thursday, and we would literally be giving Matt, like, a script for the next page on Sunday night, sometimes Monday morning.
Oh, God.
And he was drawing and coloring it. And we had Josh lettering it. We were the
you
worst.
You guys are a nightmare.
Yeah. It's like a 3-hour difference. 3-hour difference. So we were getting it to him, like, for him, like, Sunday evening.
Yeah, exactly. It was fine. This is different for Chris, because you...
I did everything.
You write, you penciled, you inked, you lettered, you colored everything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the onus is completely on you.
Yeah, and that's one of the beauties of doing everything yourself. You don't have, and you have no one else to blame if you get it late, honestly. But, you know, that's also, it's also really perfect. Like, my situation was perfect for the obsessive, you know, control freak, you know, like.
You have a type A personality?
Just a little bit. I have a hard time giving up control.
And I mean, like the downside to that for us, and I mean, probably for you as well, was that a lot of the comics where we were learning how to write comics, like a lot of comics where we were making, you know, rookie mistakes, and a lot of the comics where we were kind of finding our voices, and like those are out there, like you can go read them, like
forever.
Yeah,
it's not like web can go out of print,
right?
You know what I mean?
Right, which is the great thing about it too,
that's
because
true.
We have people that are like, we did.
They can see where you came from,
which is
also really nice to watch the development.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's like listening to your favorite band when they were complete garbage,
and then
now you're like, wow, like they put it all together, and this is great watching the progression.
That's right. We're just like your favorite band.
Well, that's like going back to
never be as good as Evanescence.
Going back to
get out.
Agreed.
No. Going back to talking about Penny Arcade.
No, wait, did you want to do Bring Me to Life, or did you want to do Real Slim Shady after this? Okay, you sure?
I will kill the mic.
You sure?
Going back to Penny Arcade. watching Mike's progression from day one to where he is now.
I was just going to say
that. It's still something that I watch.
I mean, it's, you know, it's impressive. It's
still, Girls with Slingshots is also like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my God.
Danielle Stuff's really like.
Even Jeff Johns with questionable content, like,
I don't think Jeff Johns did a lot of webcomics. I would be curious to see them, though.
Jeff
the Lost Pages.
David Willis is another one who, like you can tell when he took a life drawing class.
Exactly.
And he says, he's like, yeah, I figured out how to draw torsos.
Absolutely. Jeff Johns, kill me. Just take me out back and shoot me.
Well, he listens to this
Dinosaur Comics was perfect on day one, is the problem.
God in heaven. Moving on.
I got stuck. I'm sorry, because I'm just thinking about Jeff Johns. Like, these guys are idiots. I didn't do that comic at all.
So what? I'm honestly, and this is coming from just pure ignorance. Tell me about X-Men 92, because I know nothing about.
Hey, thanks for not reading it. It's ending at number 10.
I'm sorry. I'm busy. So what? Is it? The cartoon continued, or is it that 92 series?
Not officially. But it is a book that's sort of the consensus, like a consolidation of like all the stuff from the 90s. So it's a little bit of the animated series, it's a little bit of the video games, it's a little bit of the toys, a little bit of the Chef Boyardee, SpaghettiOs,
little bit of the Pogs,
and the comics are in there too, obviously. But so it's that kind of thing, and it just kind of took on a life of its own with us. I mean, we were brought on to do something for Secret Wars, and there was a name in place and kind of a like a sliver of an idea. But they really had like a lot of stuff that they wanted to do with it, but couldn't quite figure out how to make it all kind of come together. I think, and when we were brought on, it kind of became one thing, then it became another thing. But yeah, essentially, like if you're a fan of that era, if you're a fan of the animated series, if you're a fan of the video games, it kind of serves as the next step for those things.
Okay. I'll definitely have to check that out.
Yeah, story-wise, it's like reading it.
we're like right in the table. Last day before you get to the dealers, we've got some paperbacks.
I will definitely come pick one up, for sure.
So, like, what are some of the challenges you guys hit when you were, you know, first starting out doing webcomics? Because, like, it can't just be like, I did this thing, I put it in a scanner, and I just hit go, and it was just on the internet. There's got to be a couple things that are the in between that process.
Probably the part that made it the hardest was actually building an audience. Mm. That part was just, it made me completely obsessive, honestly. I sat there and I was like, I hit go on the post, and I sat there and I looked at the screen and I reloaded. And I was like, come on, somebody's gonna show up. And then I saw it go up one, because I went away at one point and came back. And it was like, my analytics went up, and I was like, yeah! And then I realized, I was like, wait, no, that's me. I came back again. So, but like that was probably the hardest part, like just getting to that point where like I felt like I could step away and not like constantly think about it. But yeah, like, you know, building an audience is kind of a funny thing with the internet. Like, if you start your own website and nobody knows about you, and you're not doing anything with social media or anything like that, you're not spreading word of mouth, it's not going to magically have like an audience out of nowhere. Mm. You need to have some cross-pollination. You need to be sending out feelers, talking to people, going on forums or whatever. Like, that's how I started, you know, going on forums and things like that, and talking to people and going like, hey, I've got a signature here with like an ad to my webcomic. So if you're like talking to me, you might like my comic. And then, like, I found networks, you know, I think, like, other things like Top Web Comics and things like that, where I was putting out, like, feelers and stuff like that. I was using, there was, like, an ad thing that you could put on your, it was, like, Project Wonderful.
Project Wonderful. We use Project Wonderful and Awesome Hospital.
Yeah, I was doing that pretty hardcore with my, like, when I had a website, you know, in the very beginning. And then I realized, you know, like, putting it into a network just served the same purpose, didn't cost me anything, and in certain cases it actually paid me, like, you know, so that worked out. And like, you know, you're picking up things along the way that really builds a network, and you're in, like, right now it's so much easier with like stuff like Facebook and like Twitter and Instagram.
Reddit.
Yeah, and Instagram works so well for webcomics and things like that, because like it's a visual medium. You just give them one panel, it's like a teaser.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like, you've got people going, hey, what's happening over here? And then
you know, you post often enough, you build momentum, and it's just perfect for it. And yeah. I'm sitting there, like, now I'm looking back, and I'm like, that was so hard, now it's so easy, you know.
The progression.
Yeah, we had the benefit, I think, of on our side. Chris had a popular comics blog at the time.
I mean, for mid-2000s comics blogs, yeah. By those standards.
The Invincible Super blog, and he was doing pretty well over there. So at first, our webcomics kind of became just a little bit of an extension of that, I think, where you reach some of the same audience. And I really didn't have an audience that I was bringing in outside of that, because I wasn't on Twitter. I mean, like, I'm sure some of my family read it probably. But outside of that, yeah, we kind of started there. And then it kind of took on a life of its own, where it became a thing and kind of built out of there. And we started doing other little side projects out of Awesome Hospital. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, it's interesting that you mentioned like Instagram and things like that, because that would have made it so much easier at the mm-hmm. time, you know?
Yeah.
And it's the progression of what people could do now versus what we did then.
I think it all comes down to consistency. Like, really, that's all it is. Back then it was the same thing, but like now, I mean, like if you got a medium, an outlet to figure out a way to draw a crowd, like, or at least get eyes on your thing,
yeah.
constantly pumping stuff to that medium will get you an audience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Instagram is genius for that because it's visual. You take the panel or whatever and you put it out every time you got a new comic, or yeah. even like in between, because you can put out like teasers and things like that.
Little 10-second video yeah. of you drawing something.
Yeah, or the videos, the blogs, yeah. anything like that. Yeah. Anything that you can sort of constantly remind people about it and let them build a routine around it. So, for instance, like the Gag a Day strips or whatever it is that you've got. Like, I remember when I was reading like webcomics when I had like my day job and I was working, you know, at a cubicle. My first thing when I got to work every day was I turn on my computer and immediately, screw work, I didn't care about that. I went straight over to like the Internet Explorer or whatever it was that we had at my job. I brought up my favorite panels to have up, like my favorite windows, because I had an automatic like favorites. It was just like, whoop, all my webcomics came up. And I was like, you know, read through those things. And that was like my daily routine.
Yeah.
And people come back the same way. You know, you build it into their lives as a thing that they do.
My landing page was Penny Arcade for the longest time.
Yeah.
Monday, Wednesdays, Fridays, I check out questionable content.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, I was a webcomic kid.
Yeah, it was great because like if you liked comics, like there weren't any paywalls. Like
nope.
And you didn't have to go to a store. Like I lived mm-hmm. 48 miles away from the nearest good comic book store, and I would go every week, but you know, I could also just read comics at home and
right.
find a new comic that had been, you know, doing weekly updates for a year. Yeah. That's 50 new pages of comics.
And that was like,
you know?
that's like pre-Patreon,
yeah.
Kickstarter.
Yep. It's just like where people try and get.
And Patreon and Kickstarter both make it a lot easier to do those things.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah,
because
absolutely.
You know, those are, you know, there are plenty of comics and plenty of, I interviewed Matt Chapman, who did Homestar Runner, which wasn't really
yeah.
a web comic, but yeah. you know, a web cartoon. It was a webtoon with webisodes.
Flash
and
animation.
Like, I think I freaked him out a little bit because I was telling him like all the merchandise I had bought like in the mid 2000s from their store because I wanted to support them.
I met yeah. him at HeroesCon.
Yeah.
And basically did the same thing.
Yeah, I swore to myself that I wouldn't like repeat his bits to him at
oh,
HeroesCon.
So
it was
hard
the most
it was
difficult
so
thing
hard.
In the world.
So I wanted to say Jorb to him so bad.
Yeah. He actually like we asked him for a bumper and he goes, "I'm not doing
I'm
any
not
of
doing
the voices."
Characters.
Like he
like,
straight up
why.
Just shot it down. He was like, "I will do it as me." I will not do it
because
as strong bad.
Because he wasn't there for Homestar.
Right,
he was
exactly.
there supporting his own project,
yeah.
which I totally get.
But like, I'm gonna give you like another trite maxim that I found to be true in me and Chad's comics writing career. But like, honestly, the hardest part of doing it was doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I told you we were slackers about giving Matt scripts, but it was really hard for us to plot, to write scripts. Because at the time, you know, we were both working day jobs, we were both writing our own stuff after, and then the webcomic was kind of like our third job. And it's still like that a lot with X-Men. You know, X-Men isn't our day job. You know, I write all day and then I write all night. Mm-hmm. And it's tough to have that discipline, especially if you're not like, if you're like refreshing StatCounter and Google Analytics every day and not like seeing that reward.
Yeah.
But you really have to get to a place where you're doing it because you want to tell the story and you want to tell the story your way. And so it's really, but because you're doing that, it also makes it really hard to listen to your audience when they're right about things. Because like you know, we had like a joke that I wrote in Awesome Oswald that just didn't land right, and I was like really defensive of it when it first happened. And I was like, eh, like a week later, I was like, yeah. but we're gonna go somewhere okay with it. It'll all work out in the end.
But that's one of the beauties about webcomics or like just putting stuff out there. You're market testing, constantly. And I mean, like the great thing, like we said, you're able to start a comic so quickly. You can actually gauge. I mean, to see how audience reacts to your material. And see whether it's actually worth pursuing. I mean, you could get five pages into something and realize that like everything's falling flat.
Yeah.
Nothing is working.
So
and
this
just
is trash.
And just be like, okay, well, you know, that's one project that didn't work. Let's try the next thing.
Yeah, like Akewood, which I think is honestly like one of the best comics of the 21st century. Like it's 6 months in before it kind of realizes what it wants to be, know, and then it gets like really, really good.
I mean, it's kind of like when you're reading. I mean, because I found myself doing this. Like I'll have subscriptions to certain books from publishers, and I'll get like 6-7 issues in, and I'm loving it, and then there's just a ridiculous dry spell, like 5 issues, and you're just like, I want to give up. Like I just want to give up and not read this anymore, and then all of a sudden. That next issue, you're like, never mind, back in. Yeah. And like sometimes there's a dry spell that gets hit and you just kind of got to push through it. Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing from the consumer aspect. It's the exact same idea as when you are the creator is you're going to hit dry spells and don't beat yourself up over it. Just get beyond it kind of thing. Just keep going.
And you know, there's problems that any sequential medium has, any TV show or ongoing comic series has that you're going to run into, which is generally speaking, you're only getting like a piece of the story at a time.
Yeah.
You know?
But I guess like now with the advent of social media, we've got that white noise of the comments section.
Ah, the barrier.
So it's like, how do you, like, what's the process you go through when you read? Do you read the comments? And if you do, like, how do you parse out, like, these guys are just being critical, these guys are just being jerks, like, do you read the comments at all?
I read everything.
You read everything?
Every single thing.
Everybody has a different.
That seems very uncomfortable for you.
Everybody has their own way of dealing with it. Me personally, I do not read comments because I have a quick temper and that'll get me in trouble.
I used to.
Amazingly, I haven't really had. I mean, like my audience, like I haven't really been that upset by anything. I've had a few comments that, like, you know, go, okay, well, I can see where they're coming from, or I go, this person is having a bad day.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, the longer I sit there and obsess over whatever they're pointing out that's wrong about it, I mean, like, that's not going to help me at all.
No.
You got to take whatever they're saying with a grain of salt and figure out what sort of gems you can actually parse out of there that are actually something you can learn from.
Right.
Sorry.
I was going to say, when we first started Awesome Hospital, we were getting like immediate feedback, and it was like mostly good. And it was a little longer, and you know, you start seeing people like have opinions about these characters and feelings about these characters and what they think they should be. And honestly, looking at that stuff, I think sort of ended up because of how quickly we were creating it and putting it out there, and the response was coming back like all within like a 48-hour, 72-hour cycle. It's like sometimes that could affect the story even to the point where you're like, well, maybe we should do this or maybe we should do that. You're almost like. You're almost not telling the honest story that you want to tell sometimes.
Right, it's almost just pure fan
service. Yeah.
But a lot of times that can help it, too.
It's both, yeah, it works
too. Because, I mean, JoJo, who you would later work with on Monster Plus, like, really liked Awesome Hospital and had, like, a lot of feelings about the characters, which is awesome, because nothing feels better than when you create a character named Dr. Robot, and, like, people have opinions and feelings about Dr. Robot. Like, they're honestly responding to her struggles.
Yeah.
Like, it's
great.
the weird thing about comments is that like good stuff becomes part of the white noise and bad stuff always cuts right through it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because creators are a sensitive bunch.
Yeah.
And it honestly depends on what you want out of it. Because like having if you read a thing and there's a space down underneath it where you can tell them what you think, that invites it.
Yeah.
It invites an immediate response. Mm-hmm. And like. I mean, I'm not hard to reach. Like, my email address is on my website. You know, I was on Twitter for a really long time. I'm not too much anymore. But, like, having to take the additional step of contacting me directly, like, weeds out a lot of that stuff. Like, it weeds out the people who, like, you know, are mad at it.
Yeah,
they just want to react to it immediately.
Let those guys start a subreddit and let them argue in a vacuum chamber. Like,
but you know, I've been as guilty of that as anybody else.
It's flattering that people want to have that conversation about your work, though. They just don't necessarily want to have it with you, and that's the thing.
Well, because you can defend it, they're right. Don't have to talk to you.
But the comments can really work in your favor.
They really can.
I mean, you're building a community, and that's a wonderful thing. You know, you can have that discussion where
comics on the web rings, back in the day.
Yeah, and people will have like those moments where they're like, somebody will have a very strong opinion about one specific arc, and another person will say something else, and it'll go back and forth. Or you'll have people defending you, like, no, they're gonna fix this.
And sometimes they get your intentions very wrong.
Yeah.
So what are you guys reading now? Like, what kind of webcomics are you guys checking out that you have on your radar?
Oh, man.
Ogloff.
Ogloff's really good.
Yeah, it is.
Ogloff's really good.
Extremely NSFW.
If you are 18 years or older, it's really funny and like beautifully drawn and colored.
It really is.
And kind of reminds me of some of your work.
Yeah. He's got a very similar style.
But with much less bits. Nudity.
Yeah. With more bits.
Yeah, I actually dig Ogloff. I go on the NS, not safe for work route. Also MA3, Ménage à Trois.
Yep.
It's by Giselle Lesaig, I think is how you say her last name.
I thought it was Lagasse.
I'm sick. Sorry, I may have said that wrong.
I know it primarily from her work at Archie, honest with you. Like, that kind of drove me back to the webcomic. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. She's doing, what is it? She's got like three or four webcomics all constantly putting up stuff. She's amazing.
Really good.
Yeah. I still go back to a lot of the webcomics I used to read. I don't read a lot of webcomics anymore because I'm constantly working. And that's just the nature of the beast. Yeah. I mean, I went from doing a day job where I got to work and I immediately had that bit of my routine. But now I work at home. I work on my stuff all the time. So it's like, I got this thing I need to put out. I can't look. If I look at the internet, I'll disappear into the void.
It's the sinkhole. You don't poke the bear.
You'll end up reading Kevin Sorbo's Wikipedia page for 45 minutes, like I did the other night.
I'm terrible because I'll go image searching. I need to figure out a reference for this specific uniform or whatever it is, and all of a sudden I'll be on Wikipedia or whatever you're talking about, or on YouTube, and I'll be watching a Zelda playthrough from beginning to end, 4 hours of oh my god, is that how you got past that level?
Because you convince yourself you can multitask.
Yeah.
Damn water temple.
No. But so.
So what are you guys reading right now? What are some of your favorites? And then,
your whole story about working in a cubicle and day job is very similar to mine when I got started with webcomics and stuff like that. But as I've gotten deeper into the print comics and things like that, and my job, my day job has changed without going too much into detail about that. And now the world has progressed. Now there's filters. Now there's blocks. Yeah. So my big outlet, which used to be my work computer, is now my bane. So. At the end of the day, I'm reading a lot less than I used to at the time, sadly. So, reading more digital comics now that I'm buying, which is a big transition over.
Yep. I'm a huge fan of digital comics.
Yeah.
I had to stop being a collector.
Right.
Because number one, I'm getting married and I don't have the money for it. And number two, I can just spend a little bit of money on a Marvel Now subscription and read.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's just we have a joke. We wrote a in our damage control story. We have a joke where we bring back this really old obscure character, and there's a footnote that just says, "Get the app."
Yeah. That's funny.
Look for those great Troll the Unhuman stories from the 60s.
Tales of Zombies,
I mean, Akewood is my all-time, maybe favorite comic ever that's kind of regularly updating now. Dr. McNinja's winding down, and that last story's been really good. Anthony Clark and Casey Green are doing Back, which is really amazing, which is at backcomic.com. A lot of stuff I just get on the recommendation of people. I just backed that Kickstarter for Check Please, which is the hockey romantic comedy.
Mm-hmm. that sounds awesome.
It looks amazing.
Dumbing of Age is one, because, Willis is a guy that I talk to every now and then, especially ever since I got into Transformers, because that dude loves them. I read so much, and I read so much for work, and I read so much for research. Got Lady Saber was another one that I really liked. Ogloff is fantastic. And I actually work for, my day job is writing for Comics Alliance, and there's a column, a weekly column that's just called Should I Be Reading? And it's just a column that spotlights a different webcomic every week. And there's so much... there's so much great stuff out there that if you started now, you would never read it all, which is an amazing place to be in.
I've always got recommendations for like Perry Bible Fellowship.
Perry Bible Fellowship's fantastic.
Saturday morning breakfast cereal.
Yeah. Chainsaw Suit is awesome. Like Chainsaw Suit's like maybe the best like three panel gag strip around.
Chris Strapp is just.
Yeah.
Sorry.
He's amazing.
I love that guy.
We want to open
Park of Vagrant
online.
Axe Cop.
I was like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah.
I was obsessed with Girls with Slingshots when it was on.
Yep.
I loved Sinfest was another one I got really into. That was Sinfest.net.
Dinosaur Comics.
Dinosaur Comics.
Because here's the thing. Here's the thing about webcomics that I think is super important. Like, even when they should, no one can tell you no.
Yeah.
No one can tell you, don't do this weird comic about cats that goes on for 16 years and is like, don't do this like weird story about cats getting in an outdoor brawling championship. Don't do this comic where it's six panels of the same dinosaurs every day and just the dialogue changes.
Or even indie tits. Like it's just it, two bird, three panel gags. And it's just one image that he's drawn.
And this is stuff that like, if someone like, if someone would have pitched me virtually any webcomic I love, I would have been like, no, Batman's not in that. Wolverine's not in that. But like, you know, you get stuff that is able to find a huge audience. Like, geez, like, I mean, Homestuck, you know, it's the biggest thing in the world. It, like the biggest thing in comics. It's like it's Rena Tegelmeyer and Andrew Hussey. Like,
it's prevalent.
Yeah.
Like every, like it just spans so many ages and so many things. Like, and it just, It's hit every demographic.
Yeah, it's so many stories that a traditional publishing audience, and especially like a comics publishing audience would have said no to, can flourish and find an audience and become the things that they ought to be. And it's like super awesome that that's happening.
Yep.
Yeah, that's definitely a good point to make. I mean, you're talking about the alternative is going out and trying to find a publisher for something that it may not be mainstream. You know, you might have an idea that's amazing, and it may have a really solid, you know, bit of a solid audience out there that might not be into all the generic stuff. It seems like there's a lot of stuff that seems to be repetitive themes, and you might have this amazing idea about like, you know, cats with chainsaws or whatever it is. Yeah. I would totally read that comic.
Or Brennan Lee Mulligan and Molly Ostertag's strong female protagonist is like. Arguably top five superhero books of the past few years, and that's a comic that I don't think could have happened in a traditional medium, but it's an amazing superhero book even.
Do we have any questions on the floor for nothing?
Nothing. Okay. Any questions that do not relate to the real Slim Shady?
Yeah, please.
I mean, I think that schedule kind of constantly changes for me. You know, what it used to be, certainly when webcomics was like the primary focus of what we did, you know, most of my writing and most of the creating got done like from like, I don't know, early morning. There was like a block of time in the early morning that I would work, and then the afternoon would be kind of dedicated to, you know, from like 5 o'clock to like 7 o'clock would be that time. But now it's changed. I mean, I don't write now until like after 9 or 10. Usually.
Yeah, it's usually usually we'll get on the phone to write together at around 9:30.
Yeah, and ours is very different than most people's, I would think, because of how we work.
Around 9:30, I'm kind of done with my day job writing and any side projects that I'm doing, and Chad's kids have gone to bed.
Yeah, I have a day job, so if I'm there from 9 to 5.
I think like almost all the webcomic artists I know, at least when they started it, they had a day job. You know, so you got to find a way to tell yourself you have the time to get whatever it is you want to do done. And really just like, you're going to end up making some sacrifices, whether that be sleep or whatever. You might even have to tell your loved ones, whether that's your mom or your wife or your husband or whatever it is, and just tell them, I'm going to need this bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
I worked on Saturdays, every Saturday for a while doing Obsolete, and my wife had to, you know, give me that time. I worked every day after dinner until like 3 a.m. doing Barely Listening sometimes. And that was something that my wife was like, okay, well, you're doing this and I understand you are building into a career possibly, or even just if you're doing it for fun, then you're doing it for fun. But you take different things and you push them to a certain extent depending on their priority. You have a question.
I am working on my own comic as of like
Are you just, you don't want to put it out until you have a buffer? Is that what you're talking about? Because that's a good idea.
I mean,
having a buffer.
I'm 16 right now, and I'm like, trying to get through high school.
Mm-hmm. Focus on that.
Yeah.
Listen, you want to do that. Trust me.
When I was in my 20s,
understand that feeling though. Like you really want to just like you want to jump into it, but you know there are things that take priority over comics, especially at your age.
Yeah. When I was in my 20s, and I started my website when I was 22, and I was working a full time job that I had an hour commute to and from. So I would get up at 8 o'clock in the morning, drive to work a full day. Work until 7, drive home, eat dinner, start writing, and write till 2 in the morning. And I did that for about 6 years, and I was miserable the entire time. It made me mean. It made me sleep. Like, I mean, Chad, you know, you were there for all of it. I was on a panel with Sanford Green, who draws Power Man and Iron Fist, and I was on a panel, and I explained that, and he goes, oh, right, that's why you were a jerk then. I mean, we're cool now. But, like, so... And you know, part of that was me being like, I need to be dedicated. But like, it took a toll on me to be getting by on like 5-6 hours of sleep for years.
Yeah, it's hard.
So I mean, I don't begrudge anyone who's having trouble finding time. But like, the thing I would say is you gotta something's gonna have to give somewhere where that you can carve out if you can only carve out an hour a week, then you can only carve out an hour a week, and you've got to just do it that way.
I'll give you funny examples. You know, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, yeah. I was just gonna say you almost need something in your life that you can kind of put on autopilot, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot of times when you're in school, you really don't have that. So, yeah. I mean, that's
your homework doesn't just do it.
That's right. Yeah, so that's kind of the sung part of it.
I'll give you two examples of something. I worked, like I said, at a full-time job, and while I was working on Giant, which is a graphic novel, I worked every day during my lunch. I had an hour-long lunch, and I was able to sit there and go, okay, I'm going to eat for 5 minutes, and I just shoved the food in my mouth, whatever, and I munched and I drew. And I got a page done, like whether it was pencils or inks, you know, every day or so. And I just kept on pumping that out every day while I had that time. And I mean, I was also working at nights to try to get that book done. But every day, I mean, I had to, you have to learn to take small sips, you know, of your, I mean, I guess it's a hobby until you turn it into something that's really a job or a career.
If you care enough about something, you always find time for it.
Yeah.
And it can be tough. It can be really tough, too. I agree with you. Like, I absolutely agree with you, but I'm also not going to minimize how tough it is either.
Yeah.
But like, I've thought about like, you know, Getting rid of video games. I'm not. New Pokemon game coming out on Friday. So,
I have.
Chad, hope we're done with that script by then.
I gave up my consoles. I know I just recently got like a little handheld one. And I'm like sitting there going like, I possibly need to give this away.
But you got the Switch coming out next year.
We're not talking about that. Yeah. We're not doing that.
But also it's like you do need like you, especially if you're in school or if you're day job is doing some kind of writing. Like you're writing all day, you're taking notes all day, then you're writing a paper at night, and then you're studying for a test at night.
Yeah.
And then like and then after that you gotta write more. And that's hard, and you do need something to kind of retreat into a little bit. Yeah. Like or else you're gonna get like burnout and you're gonna get like get mad at yourself and you're gonna get depressed like I was for 6 years.
One more question.
You do sometimes have to force yourself to do it. Like, I think it was Fraction. Somebody asked him, like, how do you get through writer's block? And his answer was, get a mortgage.
Yeah.
Yet, yeah. I hope. But I will tell you, if I don't get my writing done, I don't eat. So it's a great incentive to get those scripts in on time.
We have time for one more quick. Yeah, go ahead.
Drawing program, pencil and ink. I'm a big fan of traditional pencil and ink.
And then scans.
I use Zebra brush pens because I went from being somebody who inked with microns, which are just a pain in the ass to build like that whole like level of line quality where you go from thin to thick. But when I found brush pens, I took them and I ran screaming like, yay!
So you pencil and ink on paper.
Yeah, then I take stuff, I ink it. I usually pencil with like red or blue, and then I'm able to take out the pencils with Photoshop, much easier than with gray. So look for red and blue ink, and Photoshop is your friend.
Yeah.
I guess that's going to be it. Thank you guys for coming. If you want to talk to them about some of this webcomic stuff, please find them on the floor.
Where can they find you guys on the floor?
I don't know. It's A309 or something. It's if you
all of these guys are that first the first entrance between where the vendors and the artist alley are. So if you see the face painting table, they're in that row, all three of them.
Bingo.
There we go.
Right. Yeah. If you're facing Valiant, turn around.
Yeah.
Come that's where we are. By X-Men 92.
Yeah. Thank you guys for coming.
Thank
this
you so
great.
Much. This
have a great
awesome.
Time.
Thank you. I'm clapping for you. Woo-hoo.